Good morning and welcome to Backstage Pass. This is your VIP all access to the 1-2 family. I'm Raven McMinn and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host and the resident wizard of all things 1-2, Mr. Jay Varvel. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning, Raven. It's so great to be here with you. How are you doing?
Doing okay. Doing great. Give a shout out to everyone in the chat room this morning. The intention of the show is to provide you with the opportunity to get to know the host of 1-2 Radio and the advisors at 1-2 Listen on a more personal and intimate level. So feel free to utilize our private Facebook chat room, and you'll be able to ask them questions or leave comments for them during the show.
You can do that by going over to 1-2radio.com and clicking on the chat button. That opens up a brand new Facebook group window. Send over an invitation if you haven't already. That gets you into the group. And you'll see our banner, Backstage Pass, there at the top of the page. And in the comments section is where the conversation's happening. You can join us over there. So, Raven, what kind of announcements do we have today? I know. I do not know. I stumped Raven. We have...
Do you have some announcements?
I forgot to ask you before the show. The quick update. I do, actually. I had the question and I have the answer. And that is the Moon Project is happening. We're going to come back starting in February for the new moon that's happening in February. So we want to wish everybody a happy full moon today, actually. Full moon in Leo. We'll probably talk about that today for part of the show. But that's the major announcement. We're not starting the Moon Project.
How could I forget such a thing?
And
I have no idea.
Well, you know, the regular sales that happen at 1-2 Listen, those are also happening, and you can keep an eye out for those by signing up for the mailing list that keeps you in the know.
Yes.
So who's coming on today?
We have in the hot seat today to kick off our new season here at Backstage Pass, none other than Mr. Mark Husson. Mark, come on in.
Hello, Mr. Mark.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me? Hi. How are you?
We're doing
great.
Good.
How are you? Thank you so much.
Speaking of the full moon in Leo, I feel like that full moon in Leo is kind of like, it's got me kind of all over the place a little bit. How are you guys feeling?
Same.
I love this moon personally, but it can create a lot of chaos. I mean, it hasn't even hit yet. So it's coming up here probably within the hour. I think we have another minute or two, but I love the Leo moon. It fits in my chart pretty well. I feel optimistic. I feel like a new start. So I feel good. How's it affecting you guys?
I take my power off 15 minutes here before the show, so I lost all power, frantically running down to my breaker box in the garage with a flashlight. I had to find the flashlight, of course. So it was been a little chaotic for me.
That's a funny metaphor. Like, I lost all my power under the Leo full moon. I mean, like, if you think about it, not thinking about electricity, it's sort of like, the Leo full moon is giving you a chance to reclaim your power. Mm-hmm. And you got to turn back on, right?
Gosh. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Wow, I never thought of it like that. Yeah. Wow.
That is something. Well, especially, too, because Leo and light and just being all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think it's also a big test moon. It's like a moon that allows us to see how you're holding for yourself. How well are you doing? Are you torturing yourself? Are you, you know, beating yourself up? Or do you get to find that inner voice that says it's going to be okay? Because that's the whole thing about Leo, was the Parsifal's journey to find the Holy Grail. And his myth is all about not having a father. His father left early and he wanted to know who his father was. And he went on a quest to find him. And his mother didn't want him to. He got into terrible trouble. He met terrible people, which is power going out. And then he ends up finding the Grail after a bunch of tests and growing up and really finding who he is. And the Grail ends up being owned by his own grandfather. And so it's a myth of discovery. It's a mythology of finding the Holy Grail, finding like what missions we go on, to the spiritual quest we go on, the journeys that we take in order to eventually discover that the truth was always in our own blood, in our own bloodline. And so whenever the Leo moon comes around, I always check in on how are you doing? How are you? In fact, I got a text this morning from an old friend saying, I don't know how to stay positive. And I said, imagine the nephew who you love the most in the world was with you, and he said to you, I don't know how to stay positive. And you said, yeah, me either. And if that's how you hold for your loved ones, it's like hold for yourself in the same way. If things are tough, if we're having a tough time, what part of you comes forward and says, look, I'm here, it's going to be okay? Like the counter voice. And this is the moon that really, really, really gets a chance to come through and show us how strong our counter voice is. The voice that counters all the negativity, the voice that counters all the frustration, the voice that counters all the self-condemnation that we do. And how strong is it? And if it's not very strong, well, guess what? Opportunity to make it strong, to really look, to re-choose, to say, where is that voice that says, you're okay, it's going to be all right? Where is that voice? And so I love the moon for that. And I think it works for me every time because it definitely shows. I've had Leo moons where just life, the power went out, but in a different way. So it's a good moon for that. And it's also a good moon for us to start thinking about the ways we want to come out into the world. How am I doing? What's my evaluation? And with the Leo hair thing, it's a great day to get your hair done.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I
Or
need
to
to
change
remind
your
Alan
hair.
to remind all of his clients about that.
That's right.
But speaking of that whole counter voice and counter narrative, I feel like I've learned so much about that specific thing from you in just engaging with my inner child and having that whole idea of being able to have that conversation and to be that other voice and to learn how to do it. And I do feel that being kicked up. I didn't quite feel it till you said it. But now that you say it, it
Yay.
makes sense that that's what's happening. And you're right. Like the more I would say I have made progress, and so it is different now that I have a different kind of like flow with myself. But it's definitely something that I got to keep at because it's still kicking some things up in the,
Well, I think it's,
that inner voice department.
yeah, well, I mean, and that you even have to be careful about that. And it is good to make the commitment to increase the inner voice. I think that's wonderful. And but in other words, you know that can you see the danger of going, I suck at that? You know what I mean? It's the immediately comes out with the other side. And it's really beautiful to just notice. To what I think it's important is to train the observer to be the most neutral voice in your head. Like, yeah, look at I didn't do that very well. Let me change that. Or, you know, oh, yeah, look at that. I did it again and it's great. And get excited about we're seeing it because we're in a time where this ability to observe ourselves, like look at the good in your lives. Look at the good in all of our lives. Looking at, you know, these things are awful. I don't like these things and I need to work on those. But in this moment right now, I'm alive, I'm breathing. I mean, you have to start with the basics, but also getting to the point of like, I am committing to having a better voice in my head. I am committing to having a stronger observer that says, I'm here, I'm watching. That feeling, you know, that feeling, you're not alone. When you're with a friend, there's certain friends that I'm with that I just am completely safe with. I just get it. It's so nice to have their energy here, their vision here, their support with me. The feeling of not being alone is amazing. The feeling of that being you, your inner voice of that friend, is even stronger. And then to remember, like, okay, I always got me, I always got this. We can always turn this around. And then you start with that gratitude. And gratitude is, to me, the key of a Leo moon. Like, and I'm always big on don't list the gratitude, just start the list, but keep that energy building. Just keep it building. Like the energy that you have to get to go grab your gratitude, the world that you have to look through in your mind to go get what you're grateful for, that energy starts with a optimism. It starts with a hope. It start and that hope you want to magnify, you want to build, you want to keep that in your belly and keep it going all day and until it sort of busts through that sort of mind that goes, what's wrong with all of me? What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this? And because that mind will always be there. That's what the mind is supposed to do. Let's find out what's wrong with me. Let's find out what's wrong with the world. What are the dangers? What do I have to avoid? What's the problem? Da, da, da. And there's a lot of people addicted to that mind. I get it. I have a strong one of those. But it's important to know that mind will do its job. Always will be there. Always with the negatives, always with the what ifs, always with the I bet you this is the, you know, the worst case scenario voice. And that's why it's important that we build the belly voice of gratitude to counter that, like the brighter light, the brighter energy that can bust through some of that sort of inner chatter. And it makes a huge difference. As playful as it, you can make it and as fun as you can make it is as powerful as it is, because it'll bust through all that negativity. If you're thinking of what you're grateful for, it's hard to think that the world's going to fall apart. It's hard to be afraid of what's happening. Yeah, go ahead.
It really does. And I can only say that from my own experience of working on that. And it's helped me specifically with those thoughts that are like trying to bring up a pattern, like an old negative pattern, or like this has got to be, you know, this happening again kind of a thought. And being able to give myself room that, but no, it's not, you know, maybe not. And maybe that's not exactly how it's happening. And I'm not just going to accept this the way that it is. And I'm also not going to sit here and let myself worry and be afraid of like the worst case scenario, for example, when I know that that's just my go-to thought. It's only feels like it's going to be that way because it's the go-to thought, not because it's really coming up because it's going to happen.
Oh, that's really good. The difference between intuiting, like, is this a psychic hit that the world's coming to an end or this bad thing's going to happen? Or is it just fear? And right. It's kind of like, oh, look, I'm watching it. And you know the other side of it? What if it is the worst case scenario? It's like there is got to be the so what of it all as well. We're just passing through. And so we will get through anything. We will. And we have love and we have friends and we have the support we need to come. And you guys, Jay, you're probably the youngest among us, next in line, Raven, and I'm the old guy. And I think that the idea here is you live long enough, you start getting through like, okay, that was pretty crappy, and I lived. That was the worst, and I lived. And I thought that was going to be the end, and I lived. And I'm on the other side of it, and it will, like time passes, and you know how time has been passing so fast? It will pass. It does. But you also have to be like, I'm going to like that thought that I can't deal with anything life brings me. And we don't want to. God help us. We want to be, you don't like dealing with taxes. You don't like dealing with the thought of a world order crumbling or whatever. But you want to be able to know that you got you, that you got your best friend in the world with you. And that best friend isn't just the body. It's the subconscious mind that has never stopped loving on us, never stopped sending us signals, never stopped giving us the psychic intuition, never stopped giving us a little piece of hope. It just constantly knocks on that door with the correct dream, the correct metaphor, the correct omen, never stops. And to me, if we were looking for love anywhere, it's knocking at our door. That's the part of us that we could easily fall in love with, the part that just has been such a trooper through all of our adventures and all of our refusing to listen and all of our self-criticism, this one little rock, this one little piece that never stops knocking. To me, that's the sun. That's the energy of Leo. That's what we have available to us. Sorry to sound like a preacher today.
Oh, no, you've given us wonderful food for thought on this. I started a practice. I noticed that when I first wake up, other than taking care of cats, I make coffee, right? And as I'm waiting for the coffee, I will start going through all the stuff, you know, for the upcoming day. And often that was a negative voice. And I knew the best way to counterbalance that, like you said, was gratitude. So I got an old cookie jar out and small little, you know, those little post-it notes and a pen. And I put that next to the coffee maker. So that while the coffee, I'm waiting on the coffee, I take that post-it note and I write down one thing that I'm grateful for and then put that in the cookie jar to try to counterbalance that native, you know, voice that goes in the head telling me everything that's wrong. Yeah, that's what I do.
Nice. I love it. And I bet your cookie jar is filled by the end of the day.
Yes.
I love that too. Well, what a great way to have the part of that that's connected to the regularity of coffee drinking. I think we're all in that club where we like to drink coffee throughout the day.
Oh, yeah.
And just to be able to connect your gratitude practice to that, that's really actually a great idea.
That way I don't forget. Oh my gosh. I tried journaling. Yeah. And the journal, I would, you know, put the journal up or off to the side of the desk and then kind of forget about it. But here it's in my face, and so I remember to do it.
Nice. I mean, whatever we need to do, it's sort of like, notice that we have to train ourselves to kind of care for our best friend. You know, it's not just care for us, it's care for this part of us that sort of sees the goodness in what we do, that sees that is in it. There is a part of us in a constant state of gratitude. It is just so muffled out that I think that we have to face reality of life. We have to wake up and face our fears and face the bills and face the, am I going to make enough money this month? And all those things. But there is a part of us that in there is like having your, those people in your lives that you really enjoy being with, those people, that energy is what, it never goes away from us. It's just, sometimes it's so buried in all the other crap that doing a cookie jar ritual is such a sweet little acknowledgement of, I know you're in there, little friend. I know you're around. I know there's goodness in me, and I'm digging my way to find you. And here's my first gratitude thought. And here's my second, and here's my third. And like I told you, I have a little friend, a young friend who is dealing with depression and dealing with, I can't stop the negative thoughts. And so we have a game going where every day we see how many thoughts we countered today, how many thoughts of gratitude overrode the thoughts of negativity. And we have this thing, if you start attacking your body, if you're mad that your body aches or your body's breaking down or you have a cold or whatever illness you're facing, there's anger there. It's so frustrating when the body goes, no, I can't do this. And yet you have to find a way to instead of going down a rabbit hole of like, my body's letting me down and all the judgments and the ranting that goes on, if it's not even your body, it could be a friend, it could be a person, it could be a something that didn't go your way, like radio, the microwaves don't work on the radio today. It's like, okay. So we move, we keep, but you're not allowed to dwell. You're not allowed to dwell in the house of criticism, of ruminating. You have to, like, if you make that a rule and you notice that you're ruminating, then you have to make an agreement to change it. And you have that ability. Like, how many times has you been ruminating and there's a knock at the door and you have to stop ruminating to go answer the door? Or how many times has you put on music and it took you somewhere down else or something else? Your power goes out. You can't ruminate. You have to think about how to get the power on. So we have ways to stop it. It's your commitment to doing that that I think is the most important thing we can do and find. And so it's wonderful that you have techniques, and those techniques are simply saying, I'm committing to you, to this part of me, to find you again, to find this hope again, to find this voice again. I'm committing to you. I'm going to make a note every time I feel weird, or every time I make my coffee, I'm going to write something I'm grateful for. Those are commitments that I appreciate. And I think that we all deserve credit for our willingness to find those things, because there are people, and it could be chemical that it's this way for people, but there are people who can't find it. I don't have anything to hope for. I have nothing to wish for. I have nothing to be grateful for. And that's a very, very dark night of the soul, even just dark night place to be. And so you all aren't doing that. We get to be grateful about that. But number two, we have to be able to see, if we were ever in that we have an emergency exit to this practice that we do, that at least I dug a little further to find this light in me. So if I do get hit by I don't feel good, this, I'm depressed, it's a little dark, because let me tell you, those things happen to all of us. If you've worked a little bit toward your gratitude moment, towards your remembering that you're not alone, it's a lot easier to find that when you're in those places where it just looks hopeless.
Yeah, it's just like cracking the door open, just that little bit, just that one little
That's
sheet
right.
of
That's
gratitude
right.
that I write out, and that's all. Then, as long as that door stays open, at least just a crack open, then all goodness has a way to get in.
That's
Because
exactly a great analogy. Yeah.
I've stood there before and said, I don't want to do this. I'm in a bad mood, or this is wrong, that's wrong. How can I possibly? It's like, just do it. And it's literally, the like in the movies, how they would have an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other, both, talking at the same time. I feel like that some days. Like, no, I don't want to. I don't have to. This is not, no, come on. You it's gonna help. I don't care. I don't care. I just want to wallow in my misery. Okay, no, you don't. Yeah.
I love it.
That
No,
would
I think we all have that. It's a great, and it is the battle of the emotional body and the mental body. It's a battle. Those two are constantly in battled. If you tend to be more of a mental person, an air sign, if you tend to be more of a fire sign, you tend to dislike heavy emotion. And so you might go shopping or you might get up and do something to distract yourself from this heavy emotion that's going on in there. If you're more an emotional person, you might distract yourself from some of the negative criticism that's going on. But we have our defenses. So important to recognize that they're in there. And find a way in the middle. And that's why the observer has to be neutral. That's why the observer has to pull up above the devil side and the angel side and go, okay, I get it. You're having a tough day. And I'm here. It's just such a gentle, sweet, unrefereeing voice that says, there's another way to have this be. Let's take a look and come up. Come on up here. Quit trying to find the right side to be on. And just be new, let's be neutral here, whatever it takes. But it's tough. We live in a real world with real problems. And so it's tough. And that's why people exercise every day to build body strength. We have to exercise every day to build gratitude strength. It's the same muscle memory, except it's emotional muscle, it's mental muscle.
So I want to bring in another element here that's also astrologically related, but also changing things up. And I think, like as I say, it feels interesting that the full moon is sort of the in between, even though it's not exactly in between. But that is for Pluto going into Aquarius from Capricorn, and just that difference and how that feels. And yet we still have this very illuminating moon. but I feel like it is. It's like that gratitude is also helping us hold a door open to that more Aquarian way. But I'm not the astrologer. Is that like, does that vibe in the
That's
astrology
brilliant, Jay.
world?
That's so spot on. It's ridiculous because Leo is the opposite sign of Aquarius. So as Pluto enters Aquarius and the sun in the sky, this is the Aquarius birthday time. So the sun's right next to it and the moon now is opposite it. And it's like this incredible orchestration of energy because Leo is a fire sign. Aquarius is an air sign. They get along fabulously. And so here this moon is saying, okay, we can jump up above the Capricornian government politics, blah, 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 and how businesses work and all that. And we can get into this new humanitarian thought. We can get into this idea that we need to get along. We can get into this idea that we are a collective mind. We are together for the same purpose. Together, we solve more problems than we can create. And that is the hope that this brings. And I think that's the hope of the Pluto and Aquarius generation time period, which is going to be about 15 years or so, where it's this true sense of we can solve this problem and we have to. It's like if we lose the earth, there's no point in not getting along, right? What's the point if we lose, if we can't even be here, then what's the point in worrying about stuff? So the idea is together. It's like if you look at Congress and how they just can't get a lot done because there's too much my side and your side. But imagine if it was like, well, let's put that aside and talk about the issues and how to solve them, and we can get together on that without any posturing, without any crap. We get so much done. And it's okay, it's a process. I don't judge it too harshly. But we as a collective of humans can do that as well. Notice that whenever there's a giant tragedy, we tend to put our differences aside and go help. It's the same thing when there's a crisis, when we realize together we are better than separate, it's an amazing thing. And I think Pluto in Aquarius is sort of sending that message really big. And if we don't hear it, it'll finagle some things so that we have to, I think.
Wow. Well, I mean, this definitely feels like a big time, a big energy. And I know I've done some reading and I want to say that this energy was also part of like the American Revolution. Is that right? When it came around last?
Yes, we're having the, we're literally having the Pluto return of the U.S. And so we're seeing this recycling of the change. And you think about what happened during the American Revolution, and you think about even, we're going to have another big one. This is the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction of April. And that happened in 1774, the Boston Tea Party. There's this sense of like, no more monarch, no more rules, no more, you don't get to be the king, you know, it's like none of this. And it's like, no more overlords, no more, you know, no more crap that sort of says, you don't know what's best for yourself. And so there is this revolution. And if you look at it objectively, if you think about it, if you take it out of the dichotomy, if you take it out of the bipolar part, like there's an extreme right and there's an extreme left. And then there's, if you look in the middle, you see most everyone agrees in the middle. Most everyone agrees in the common sense realism of life. And that, and those voices are usually really quiet, but I think they're huge. And I think they're the majority. And I think they're not the squeaky wheel, so they're not getting all the grease. They're present though. And that's everyone you know. We're looking at the world as a collaborative. I can't exist on an island. I have to cooperate with you. I have to understand your point of view a little better. And I was horrible at that. And now I'm like, what is your point of view? You know, and often I'll find it's like they're just afraid, or they have information that's different than mine. So we sort it out. But yeah, the time is coming. This is going to be a huge year. And I think it's going to be like a marker year, because it sets the stage for the incredible changes that are about to come. And I'm personally optimistic, but I tend to be optimistic in the world. Like I think the world, I think George Carlin is the one who first said it. It's like, the world is smarter than we are, the earth. it's going to like, we are going to survive, and we have for eons. And if it's our time to end if it's like our time to be the dinosaurs where it's time for our extinction, then okay, then it is. We have to be at peace. What's the goal here? The goal is not some in spiritual result in my personal opinion only. If the goal is to discover a world where you're open and you're happy in this moment, because it's transitory, it's not going to be here forever. So what makes you happy? What brings you joy? We watched a special on Disney last night about the group of, you'll see it, it's a group of people who donate their time to repair instruments for underprivileged kids. It's insanely powerful. It's remarkable. It's in LA. Each person there had a story. You can't not cry. The people who are doing the repairs, where they came from, how serious this is to them, and how their life, they're each a distinguished musician in their own right. And they each have a story, very powerful. And they repair these for free. These kids whose only hope is that their violin broke, it cracked, or the wood, it split in two, it broke in half, or my dad threw it against the wall. I mean, that kind of shattering. And they take it to this place, and this guy who is a immigrant from Russia, when he was a little boy, couldn't speak a word of English. He was taken in by a family that agreed to take him, and he looks up on their wall and sees a Norman Rockwell painting of a piano repairman. They kept asking him, he said, they were speaking to me and I couldn't understand them, So the father said, he said, I pointed to the picture in the dad, and the dad said, that's me. Like, meaning I do piano repair. The guy understood it to mean I do piano repair. And he said, would you want to come with me? And the kid said, yes, I want to. Well, now he runs this whole institution, this whole school. Wow. He's a seasoned pianist. He's an incredible piano tuner, has a perfect pitch in his ear, and one of the dearest people you ever want to meet. It's so inspiring, and to be able to know that that's in the world. So whenever you're depressed, I mean, I'm telling everybody, turn that show on. It was really good. It's on Disney, and it's about the – it was nominated for an Academy Award. It's only 40 minutes long. It's very, very sweet, and each person's story. And it brings it down to this, what else do we have here? Mm-hmm. What is it that we want to contribute in our life to either make somebody else happy or to start with our own happiness and see if where to go from there? But it's like we only have that. And so we can do this sort of torturing mental process every day where we – judge where it's wrong with us and what we didn't do and what needs to get fixed and why you're a loser and why you don't deserve this, or we, all of us. Or we realize that's always going to be there. So let me think about why I might be a winner. Why are you good? Why, what good can I contribute? And find your heart again. So much good stuff. And this is all brought on by the Leo moon, by the way. And the reason that this kind of talk works is that we're under that influence of this radiant, Leo is ruled by the sun. What is more warm? What is more beautiful? What is more permanent? And what is more perfect a symbol of warmth and kindness than the sun when it's being nice?
Right.
I'm lecturing today, aren't I? Sorry.
Well, no, not at all.
Yeah, I'm soapboxy today. No, oh, that's very sweet. That. Yeah, well, thank you. Oh, it's very sweet. Dear God, it's very sweet. Nice to know the places like that are out there and that there are people like that so committed to it. And you have to take a very serious test to even be one of them. And it's like they don't let just you come. You don't just come fix equipment. You got to know what you're doing. And it's very powerful. So, yeah, it's a good thing. And it also reminds us that there's good people in the world. If you just watch the news, it's going to be easy to forget that there are really, really, really good people in the world, more than you see it. But that doesn't sell. You know, that's not going to make it to the news. If it bleeds, it leads, right? That's the rule of the news media. So yeah. Well, if you're not hurting, you're not going to get on TV.
Well, and hopefully in this Aquarius season, maybe that's what we can change, where these stories that you're talking about are actually very exciting and energizing. It doesn't have to be about a bloodbath or about somebody, you know, somebody's murder. That doesn't have to be the thing that gets us in a twist or gets us turned on, so to speak, to pay attention. And I hope that's one of the things with this energy.
It will be, Jay. And I think that it's also interesting to notice that our attraction to the news and our attraction to the scary things is simply the mind who's been trained to take care of us. And the mind thinks the way I take care of you is look for anything that could kill you. So we what could kill her? The person die, like the robbery? I mean, so the mind is geared to that. And it's okay to know that, but if you're going to watch that kind of stuff, you have to have a very strong counter voice. You have to have that connection to your kind nature, to the part of you that could be one of those people repairing things for children. And I always go, I wish it was easy to find places like that where I could, you know, I remember telling John, there's a part of me, sometimes I get this feeling I want to sell everything and dedicate to something bigger than me, but I can't find it. Like, because I know that then my critical mind would go, this place is dirty. Or I'd sell everything and go to volunteer and I'd be like, ew, I don't like these people. Or I don't like this. And it's like, oh my God. So I'm, you know, I'm in that boat of like, I have to trust the flow of my life. Okay. So now I could be stuck in a place that says, see, Mark, you can't even do it. You're stuck in your own shit. And the negative voice starts coming in, right? I could go there. Because we have a choice of where we want to go. or I can trust that I've been protected, like that I, that flow will come when it's perfect for me, that it will, if I keep my intent and my heart good and what I want to make that kind of difference, it will flow, it will come, but I can't force that. And so there's a bunch of ways you could react to something that you can't do. Mostly what's important is to remember that we, our job is to be loving as possible, to open that door, crack the door open toward the part of us that is our best friend in the world. Find the path to that voice and we'll always be okay. That's truly the theme here.
I feel like I'm remembering that quote from Gandhi, be the change you want to see in the world. It feels like that's so much that now more than ever, that like it's, that's what's happening. And yeah, we're the ones, like we really are the ones. That starts with each and every one of us, like making a change, getting a hold of our mind, you know, being that counter voice, learning how to love more and be more grateful. And the more we do it, the more it really does transform our life. I've seen that in my own life personally, but I've also seen it happen in other people's lives in really miraculous ways. So I'm excited that we get to be here on 1-2 Radio and a part of voices that are empowering and inspiring and wisdom filled, and that we're already in process of doing that, actively doing that. And I'd imagine that's really going to help us grow in the new year too, as this energy really catches steam. Like more and more people are interested in horoscopes and astrology and in their intuition and just the metaphysical in general. And so that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. And you know, that thing about be the change you want to be, think about it. If you want to see a little more love in the world, if you want the world to be a safer place, then quit terrorizing yourself. I'm talking to all of us. Like, in other words, that's be the change you want to see. Like, start with having a loving voice to ourselves, and we might start, someone might see you and say, you're always so happy. How do you do it? It's like it starts being contagious. People start being happy to see you because you walked in, and it starts bleeding out that way. It's not, and it doesn't. So in other words, be the change you want to see doesn't have to be sell everything and go make a difference to poverty. It means start with the love that you're looking for in the world and start being that for yourself. And I think that's an important thing. Also, the fact that more and more people are into astrology, the fact that more, it also means more and more people will be into astrology to scare other people, to like be warned of all the, they'll be the news, they'll be the horoscope version of the news. And so like it's wonderful that people find things to be, we have to, everything, whether it's being a politician or whether it's being a psychic or whether it's being a therapist, there's a good way to be that, which is loving and supportive and kind, and there's a crappy way to be that. Everything here is bipolar. Everything here is a dualistic world. So it brings it to the fact that be anything you want to be, follow your heart, and bring that, have that door cracked open to your loving self. Have the consciousness open so that no matter what it is you get into, and if you're listening to these broadcasts on 1-2 Radio, first of all, thank you very much for doing that. And number two, you don't have to be in this industry to be closer to anything. It's not closer to God here. It's not closer to wisdom here. It's just closer. It's wherever you are, you can be that. You can be closer to your own happiness. You can be closer to God. You can be closer to anything, no matter what it is you're doing. And so if you're listening to this and you're stuck at some fast food restaurant chain and you feel stuck, remember that's one place to start extending that love, looking in somebody's eyes and being kind. That's one place where it makes a huge difference. So there's no order here that's better or not. It's be the love you want to be the change, like you said, be that change by being loving, starting with yourself and then bringing that up as much as you can. And you're going to have days where everyone's going to wish I probably didn't walk out the door, that this is the most unloving person I've ever met. And you're going to have days where you just aren't making it happen. It doesn't matter. It's like it's two steps forward and one back. is fine. And that's, you know, so we do what we can do. But yeah, I love that things are getting more open and people are being more willing. And as psychics and as intuitives and as people spreading the message and the word, you couldn't be more beautiful. Either of you could be more beautiful representations of what you can be with having a little love and a little intention of love in your goal. And so it's great. It's good stuff.
It reminds me of the saying, bloom where you're planted.
Yeah, wherever you are, bloom. That's good.
Wherever you
It's true.
bloom.
So I want to take a moment
Yeah,
to
because, yeah.
I want to take a moment to say hi to everybody that's joining us in the chat this morning. We have Renee. She says, good morning, Jay, Raven, and Mark. It's great to see you, Renee.
Hi, Renee.
She's also giving
Hi,
us a
Renee.
happy full moon. And if you're in the chat, there is a picture that she posted of the full moon over Mount Hood up in Washington, and it's stunning. And Quali is joining us with some hearts. It's great to see you, Quali. And
Hey, Quali. Hi, Quali.
Tara is here with us. Hello, Tara. Good evening. She says, I'm late, but had some short yay. Or I don't know what that means, but I think she's saying something to Pamela's comment because Pamela's joining us too. She also came in late. It's okay. You're right on time. And Lori Love is also here. Thank you for joining us this morning, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Good to be here with you. So nice of you to join.
Aquarius, what is the mythology of Aquarius? How does it get to be the water bearer, yet it's an air sign?
That's a great question. So think about the so it's the mythology is Prometheus in general, who was Zeus had this big jealousy of humans, and he was really mad that he hated the arrogance, he was just angry, and he forbade he wanted to end the human race basically, and so he forbade fire from being given to us. And so Prometheus felt really bad because Prometheus was like the Aquarian mind. That's humanity. You can't do that. That's not fair. So Prometheus snuck fire down from Mount Olympus and brought it to mankind to never be able to be extinguished. And when Zeus found out about it, he was outraged, of course. And so he sentences him to a life of having his liver eaten every day and then grown back and eaten again, chained to a mountaintop. And so that's the first part of it. And what that explains a little bit is the Aquarian mind. The Aquarian mind, and there's a great phrase that Aquarians love humanity but hate people. And so Aquarians love the group, the idea of the homeless, let's solve that problem. The idea of, but no Aquarian is probably going to ever invite a homeless person into their home, typically. I know there are some exceptions, but typically it's sort of like it's a group think, it's a group problem, and it's a global ideal, loving one another, etc. And Aquarians tend to be the most, it's the shadow of Aquarius is it's the most. If you don't agree with an Aquarian, they can shut that door so fast. So it's not really about just all unconditional love. It's about love as long as you see the vision the way I see it. We all have Aquarius in us, so it's not like a slammed Aquarius. The water bearer idea is notice that the water bearer is pouring the water down for everybody. It's sort of like the lifeblood. Water is the lifeblood. Aquarian, it's sort of like feeding the homeless, but they're not the emotional bearers. They're carrying that emotion. They're bring. So it, the water bearer fits into that phrase. I love humanity. So here's my water to you. I'm giving you fire, giving you water. But I don't like any of you individually. So I'm not going to be, it's not personal. Don't any one person come and get a drink. This is for all mankind, all humankind. And so the water bearer is sort of carrying the vessel for the possibility of love, humanity, loving humankind. But not necessarily participating in it. Does that is that convoluted or does that make sense?
That makes sense.
So
So that's what that's how I learned it.
it's going to make for an
You tend
interesting
to ask
show.
questions that you know the answers to too, Raven. Do you know, do you did you learn something different on that or do you have another theory?
Well, I knew that there was the astrology book that I have talks about Jupiter being the prime god, and he wanted to destroy mankind, so he sent the flood.
He sent a flood? Okay.
He sent a flood, wanting to kill everyone. And so I was like, this, I've never heard you talk about that before, so I wanted to know what the real story was behind Aquarius.
Well, Aquarius used to be ruled by Jupiter in the days before Uranus was discovered. But honestly, I heard that in the Bible, in the biblical flood, and it could be that got woven in.
Yeah, but it kind of echoes to that. There were two survivors, and I can barely pronounce this name. Deucalion is the man, and Pyrrha is the wife, that were left then to repopulate the planet, and hence a new race of mankind came forward from this. So it kind of has a little bit of the Adam and Eve and a little bit of the Noah's flood kind of echoed in
this. It does. Yeah, no, I've always heard it from the Promethean myth point of view. That's Liz Green, she's a Jungian analyst that really takes astrology to the levels that we love. But I'm sure that I'll have to do so a little more research and see what she says about. I thought that's where I learned it, is that they're carrying the water, the life force, but they're carrying it. They're not it. They're like that was the delivering fire to mankind, but so they don't die. It's the symbol of I have all that you need to live for all humanity, but I'm just the carrier. Like that's the impersonal nature of it. So. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's my version. I figured you had another story in there. Jupiter is the ruler of Zeus. Zeus is the Jupiter ruler, so it's a great parallel there because he is the one who wanted all humans killed. In my version, he wanted them killed by the absence of fire. And maybe there's a version of that where in order to get rid of fire, he sent water and flooded everybody. So there could be that. I don't know, though. I don't know. I just know that archetypally, it's the water bearer, and it does get often confused with being a water sign, but it's far from a water sign.
I always wanted to put it in a water sign, yeah, because it was a water bearer, because it just makes common sense.
And it's funny, when you see the water signs, they definitely have, they're all crustaceans, right? They're all water beings in the water, fish, crabs, and scorpions. Go ahead. Sorry, Jay.
I was just going to say, we're getting close to the top of the hour, and I want to give you an opportunity, Mark, if you have a final note, a final message, something to leave everybody with, whether it be astrological, whether it be just something personal that you want to share about this time.
Thank you, Jay,
to do that.
That's so nice. Okay, so first of all, you guys, thank you so much for having me. It's so lovely to be a part of this. And there is a lot astrologically going on. It's like a rubber band being stretched really tight. So those of you fixed signs, Aquarius, Leo, Taurus, that are feeling a little bit of like there is change, it's got to give here soon, I promise you it will. And it is. And it's an amazing collaboration of planets that are working for you. They are really working to support you. Okay, as a metaphor, go to 12listen.com, please. That's our bloodline. That's our support. You'll see some of the most amazing psychics online. We're having a big sale today. 12listen.com. It is one of the safest systems. We've been there for over 15 years. No hijacking of cards, no identities being exposed. It's a beautiful, beautiful system. Please support it. Keep us going. Raven and Jay, you guys are some of the biggest voices on 12 Radio. I want to thank you personally for keeping that message out there in the world. What you guys do, I don't care. You do it weekly. You do it regularly. Some days power's out. Some days power's not, you know, on full tilt, but you still come through. So I want to both thank you, really, for being such a powerful and willing voice to get yourselves out there in the world. This is not an easy job once a week. I can hardly get half the staff to do once a week. and you guys are doing it several times a week. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's my message.
Oh, thank you, Mark. You're welcome. And
thank
you for creating this amazing world for us to be able to play and work in. And we're so grateful to have you on and get to talk to you and really vibe with what's going on in the world. We wish we had more time, but Raven, please send us out of here.
Thank you to everyone in the chat room. And you can hear more astrology by tuning into Mark's show on Mondays at 9 Pacific time. Is that right?
8 a.m. Pacific.
8 a.m. Sorry, 8 a.m. Pacific time. And stay tuned for the lovely Miss Erin Carrera. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.